Happy Fallback Day. I love this day. It's one of my favorites. I'm battling a little bit of allergies, so pardon my voice. But I feel rested. I love it. We should fall back every Sunday. I don't know how that would work. But I do love it. Our ladies' retreat is coming up quickly. And on that Sunday, the 19th, some of our ladies would like to be able to stay at the retreat for the completion of it, but they're currently teaching one of our children's classes, and so we still could use some substitutes for that Sunday. So if you can help with that, please talk to Stephanie Price, and that would be a big blessing. This past week, of course, was our trunk or treat. Just had a few pictures I wanted to share with you. Some of our trunks that night, just three I was going to show you. The Nightmare Before Christmas. And then this is Bob and Linda Fitzgerald, and the picture doesn't do it justice at all. If you were there that night, Bob is behind that on his knees, and the candy comes out on this little tray that those doors open. I don't know how Bob walked after 2 hours on his knees and in the back of that vehicle, but that was a neat trunk. I want you to know that we it's a little hard to count at Trunk or Treat, but per candy that we're handing out, we had over 500 children come through, and we estimate upwards of 800 total came through our property for Trunk or Treat. Isn't that great?
Man.
We prayed about it. We want it to be a blessing to the community. What we really want is to draw the community to Christ. And so I know we have some here this morning that are a result of being at Trunk or Treat. We invited them, said they would come today, and they're here, and I love it.
Man.
I love it. So keep praying. We received a number of compliments that night. We normally do, but even greater than usual. And so pray, invite. There are people that we saw maybe we hadn't thought of in a while, but we can track them down this week if you haven't already. Invite them to church. I want to plug our LTC meeting that we have coming up. Today after services, we'll have an LTC meeting for our children, third grade and up. For parents and for adults who are interested in helping to coach, we'll do that in fellowship room. We have pizza provided. We have pop provided. Come to the meeting. I want to make a couple comments about the value of LTC. I love that this is us training our children to be leaders. LTC stands for Leadership for Christ. And to train our young people to not just be, you think about your child, when they're grown, do you want them to just attend church somewhere sometimes, marginally, not really involved, not really, or do we want our children as adults to be involved, to be leaders in their own way, in their own ministry, to be knee-deep in the kingdom? That's what we want, isn't it? And so the truth is, statistically, over half of our children, when they reach adulthood, they fall away from Christ. They fall away from the church. We talk about reaching the lost. The truth is, our children, we're in the process of reaching them. Just because my child believes in God and Christ and is in with the church every Sunday, Wednesday, that doesn't mean that they will be into adulthood. And so we're battling for those souls, and the devil is fighting us. I love that our kids, I want to share just my experience with my children with LTC. A couple things that come to mind. I love that during LTC, so we're starting today and it'll run till Easter. During this time of year, my kids are studying their Bible during the week at home for preparing for LTC. It might be Bible quiz, it might be some part of LTC that they're competing in, and they're at home studying the Word of God. And sometimes they'll come to me and say, "Hey, Dad, did you know this about the Bible?" Normally I do. You know, sometimes your kid will surprise you. They'll teach you something. But to have your child digging into the Word of God is priceless. I love it. I love that they learn Bible principles through a variety of things with LTC. So it might be through singing. It might be through puppets. or drama or art or some other thing that they're involved in, that they've signed up for. I love the fact that it has eternal value. I think it's a real challenge for us in America today with our children. We want them involved in some type of extracurricular activity. And we want them to be good at something. We want them to succeed, to feel good about themselves, achieve. And so many of those things become so competitive, it is really hard, I think, for us as parents to moderate that just within ourselves of how much we value it. For example, my kid may excel in a sport or activity. They may achieve a college scholarship, receive a degree, save all that money. Now they get a good job. But then what? What's the eternal value in it? There are things that have earthly value, and that's fine, and that's okay. And there are things that have eternal value. LTC has eternal value. And so that's what I'm asking you as parents. We tend to tell our children we want them to dream big. We want our children to be anything they want to be. But shouldn't we rather tell our children, you need to be what God wants you to be?
Amen.
That's a much greater priority than what we might want to be in some activity or thing that we're involved in. So I don't know how to plug it more, but we're going to have a meeting today. Please come. There's food. Be praying about it. Parents, this is the time. This is the time for us as parents to gear up, to sign on, to commit, to get really invested. So we'll start that off today. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, or rather verse 9. We're going to start in verse 9. Matthew chapter 6. There are so many things in our world that consume our time and attention. There's so many things that we can be involved in. There are many of us that were involved watching the television yesterday at a certain point in time. The things just captivate us, right? So call them hobbies, call them interests, call them entertainment, activities, whatever you want to call them. There's so many things in life. And then you have, well, maybe family is more important than some of these other things. Or maybe I need to focus a little more on this. My health, I need to get healthier. So we have all these things that draw our attention. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a passage in the Bible, and there are a few, and we're going to look at one today. But to look at a passage that says, it's from God, and it says to us, listen, here's what you need to really worry about. Here's what you need to really focus on. These things are important. Do this, this, remember this, remember this. Okay? So we're going to do that, and this is known as the Lord's Prayer. This is a time that Jesus, telling his apostles, he's teaching them how to pray. He's not teaching them what to pray. So this prayer was never meant to be recited as some kind of magic formula, although you can recite it. But it's intended to teach us topics to pray about. So we start out in verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Is God your Father? Because God is God, period. But He may not be your Father. Father speaks to relationship. The Bible gives us different titles, words that reference God. We have words like Almighty, Lord, Jehovah. And those are all true. But the term Father speaks to a relationship. Is a reminder that God wants us to approach Him. Romans 8:15 says we can approach God in the way, and there's a word used, Abba, Abba Father. It means Father, but it's a word that a young child would use talking to their father. God wants us to be able to approach Him that way. I want to read a post that one of our missionaries in Liberia, Jonathan Cooper, he posted this on Facebook, I believe 3 years ago. The scripture is Psalm 11:4. And the scripture says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His heavenly throne. And then he goes on to say, no matter what happens in our life, in our town, in our nation, God is still on His throne. No matter how confusing things become, God is still on His throne. No matter how discouraging, God is still on His throne. Therefore, no matter what, we will worship Him. This prayer starts out reminding us you have a Father that wants you to come to Him. He is always available, but He's also always in control. He is in heaven. He is running things, right? He is in charge. He's not asleep at the wheel. And that's the one we pray to. Hallowed be Your name. God's name represents Him, right? And so this is a reminder, and everyone please listen. I know we, as a listener, I know you're getting, you may get most of what the speaker's saying, but we also have our own thoughts we're battling. But please hear me on this. Do not say, "Oh my God," unless you're praying to God.
That's right.
Because by doing so, we're really saying, "Oh my goodness," or "Oh my," or "Oh wow," or "Gee willikers." We're exclaiming something, "My goodness." But when we say, "Oh my God," we're using the Almighty's name in vain.
That's right.
And His name is holy. And that offends Him deeply. And so we need to know that, and then we need to help our friends who don't know better, because they're doing it. And I know people who say it and they don't mean to blaspheme God. I don't know anyone who would purposefully blaspheme God's name, do you? So we need to be very aware of that. I used to say something like, well, I might walk in my daughter's room and one of them, and they might have cleaned it without me even asking them. And I might walk in and say, "Holy cow, I cannot believe this." That was something that was in my verbal repertoire. But I've ceased that because you know who's holy? God is. That's a God attribute. We are holy when we're like God. And we're holy because of God in Christ. So holy is a God thing. And I don't need to be using something so dear to God and His nature in a way that's flippant. And so, hallowed be Your name. Verse 10, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom is His church. Not this building. It's the saved, the Christians, you and I, His church. That's His kingdom. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray this, God's kingdom had not come yet. God's kingdom came about 50 days after Jesus died. Acts chapter 2 is when God's kingdom came. It's when people were first, when they first became Christians. It's when Acts 2:38, Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." And I want to make a quick side note. Peter didn't say, which is something you'll commonly hear today by people that I assume are good-hearted and well-meaning, but Jesus did not say a prayer with me and invite Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior. Okay? We need to know that those words aren't in Scripture. There is no Scripture that says invite Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior. There's no Scripture that says pray this prayer with me and you'll be saved. Right? But there is Scripture, Acts 2:38, that says repent, which is make a decision to change your life. Of course, having faith in Christ and be baptized to wash your sins away. We do have that. We have Scripture that says time and again, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away for remission of sins. Baptism now saves you. So we need to know how to tell people to be saved, don't we? You want to talk about something important? That's what's important. Helping people to be saved. God's kingdom is the church. How much do we care about the kingdom doing well? How much are we concerned about the kingdom doing well? Right? The church doing well. Us. How much are we concerned about that? How much are we concerned about our favorite team doing well? The team we cheer for. We call it our team sometimes. It's funny, it's not. We're just cheering them on. I wrote in my notes, believe it or not, this was written before yesterday's football game that many of us were interested in. And what I wrote in my notes here says, it doesn't matter. I used to really hammer that one home when my team would lose. I'd say, Elliot, now listen, you gotta walk back from the ledge here a minute. It doesn't matter. This was just a game. But, you know, we make things bigger than they are, and we think, but, you know, you don't understand. See, if my team wins this, they might get into this playoff. All right. You don't understand. They might, if they get in that playoff, they just win two games, they're the national champions. All right. Well, they get this trophy. They'll put banners up. I mean, they'll put stuff up. I mean, they celebrate it, parade. I mean, I'm a fan of that team. Like, that's kind of like I won a national championship, right? All right. Well, it'll help them in recruiting. I mean, it helps the whole program. I mean, the program does better. I mean, I love it. I watch them. I keep up with them. All right. I'm being honest with you. I am continuing, and in recent years, learning self. This is just something that's for fun. That's all this is. That's all it is. And the same is true for our children. We might think, but you don't understand. My kids' team, they're really good. Okay. But you don't understand, preacher. My kid, they are outstanding at this, whatever they're doing. All right. But see, you don't get it. They're probably going to get a scholarship. Okay. And they might even play professional, semi-professional, might even get paid, might even be famous for it. All right. Do you know Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven? When our kids leave home, you know what we need to really be worried about? And I'm not saying sports are bad, activities are bad. I looked for Michael in the band yesterday. I didn't see him, but I know he's in it. That's exciting. I'm proud for him. I'm proud for our kids when they do well. And my kids, as they excel in whatever, I'm proud of them. When our kids leave home, you know what we need to care about? Are they in the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the saved that will be in heaven for eternity, and those outside the kingdom are not. That's important, isn't it?
Yeah.
That your kingdom come.
Yes.
That's what's important. Your will be done. We need to start each morning with a thought. God, I pray you get your way today. It's a good way to start a day. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. It's a reminder, this is a reminder to focus and worry about today. It's a reminder what Jesus said at other times, or what Jesus says here. And Jesus being God and creator still, he teaches his apostles, you just worry about today. Now Jesus was one that didn't have a house, didn't have a wife, didn't have a family of his own, didn't have a place to lay his head. God, give us today our daily bread. There's two other scriptures that really come to mind on that. And one is Proverbs 38. I love this one. It says, this is a prayer to God. Keep me from lying and being dishonest. And don't make me either rich or poor. Just give me enough food for each day. If I have too much, I might reject you and say, I don't know the Lord. If I'm poor, I might steal and disgrace the name of my God. Now, this isn't saying, remember, there are wealthy people that were very faithful and honored by God, and wealthy because God gave it to them, right? Job, Abraham, Joseph of Arimathea was a man of means, the one who took Jesus' body from the cross. Having wealth is a blessing if we understand it's from God and if we have a generous heart. But I love the attitude of this prayer. God, if I have enough, that'll be good. Right? If I have enough. 1 Timothy 6:8. If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. It's not saying that you can't be wealthy and be godly. It's saying with added wealth comes added temptation, comes added challenges, right? And that is the opposite of our mentality as Americans, isn't it? If we had an individual running for president at the next election and they're making promises, all of you Americans are going to be rich. Everyone's going to win the lottery, right? Man, that sounds good. But I want this attitude of, God, you know what? I have food. I have shelter. I have clothes. Thank you for giving me enough. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We want God to extend forgiveness to us, don't we? For our sins, the things that forgiveness that we don't deserve. But God says, are you willing to do the same for your fellow man? And sometimes we struggle with this, but this is some of the greatest wisdom, I think, in all Scripture, is forgive someone. Forgive them. We might think, you don't understand what they've done to me. Doesn't matter. Work on forgiving them. But you don't understand what they did was inexcusable. And don't you think we've done the inexcusable against God? I mean, doesn't God forgive us of the inexcusable? Things that we don't have a good reason for, a good excuse for? Forgive. Forgive. Work on it. It's a journey. Pray for the person that hurt you. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We tend to pray for God to deliver us from sickness, deliver us from pain, deliver us from suffering. And that's understandable, right? I pray for that. But Jesus said, pray that God delivers you from evil, from sin, from temptation, that He guides us not into temptation. That means, God, guide me where I need to be. There are some places we don't need to be, right? They're tempting. We don't need that. We need to be away from that. And so, and this concludes with one more point about forgiveness. Hey, just a reminder, if you don't forgive those who trespass against you, God won't forgive you. That gets our attention if it didn't already. Forgiveness is important. I love this prayer because it reminds me that God is in control. Right? It reminds me that the church is the saved, and that's what's important. The kingdom. This is what's important, folks. You want to be a fan of something? We need to be a fan of this. Don't we? We need to be excited about this. We need to care and think and dream and hope for God's kingdom to advance. We need to remember that enough, that's what we need if we have enough. We have a God who wants to forgive us, but He calls us to do the same. There are places we don't need to go. We need to go where God leads us. We need to let Him lead us. I'll leave you with one final thought. You'll see this if you're watching sports at all. This time of year, it's coming up toward the college playoffs. You'll see this slogan, who's in? Who's in? You know, captures the attention of the fans, da, da, da. Who's in the kingdom? That's the question, isn't it? Yeah. Who's in the kingdom? We have children that aren't in the kingdom yet. They haven't reached the age of accountability. But who's in the kingdom? That's the thing we need to be concerned about. God is our God. We are His servant. We're going to sing a song to close this morning, Make Me a Servant. If you're here this morning and you haven't turned your life over to Christ, you've not had your sins washed away in baptism, you're still walking around in them. Come in the kingdom. Let us help you with that this morning. If there's something we can pray for you about, let us help you with that if you'd come while we stand and sing.
Make me a servant, or make me like you, for you are a servant, make me one too. Make me a servant, do what you must do, to make more joy in your service.